Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. So this morning, I'm going to be bringing the word. Okay, and the title of my sermon today is The Great Exchange. Okay, right before we get into the word, let us pray together. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is living and active, sharper than double-edged sword. It penetrates through joints and marrows and judges even the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Lord, let your word transform our lives. Your word brings restoration. And I pray that will you anoint me as I bring the word today. I pray that I will flow and be led by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today I'm going to tell you a true story. Okay, and a true story that Jesus told, but we are going to look at it from 2019 perspective. So let's see if you can guess the story that I'm talking about. But I'm going to need my two helpers this morning, and I would need Manish and Sundar. Would you please come and join me? All right. Once there was a man called Sundar. Sundar was an intelligent man, and he was the CEO of Custard Apple Laptops. Custard Apple Laptops. Okay, Custard Apple was a multinational company, and it was growing quickly. Sundar lived in a beautiful bungalow with a swimming pool and jacuzzi and a lot of security guards and servants and dogs. Sundar was a hard worker, and every morning he would wake up early and put on his branded purple suit with purple shirt, purple socks, everything purple. Okay, and he would also wear a nice purple wristwatch. And then he would go into his beautiful Audi, which had nice leather seat, and he would go to his work. So he was an impressive man and seemed to be a good person. On Sundays, he would go to church, and he was a learned man, he had the knowledge of the scripture. You know, when he would come home, he would sit on his massage chair, have a hot cup of ginger tea, and relax in his big bungalow. On the other side, just outside Sundar's gate, was Manish. Now, Manish was very different from Sundar. He was unimpressive, covered in boils all over his body, and smelly. Manish took shelter under the shade that the trees provided outside the gate. So while Sundar was at home feasting on his lovely tandoori chicken naan, as if he hadn't eaten in days, our healthy-looking poor man Manish was hungry and was dreaming of eating the crumbs. Sadly, he got nothing. Every day, Sundar would pass by Manish when he went out or came home. And every day, Manish hoped that today he would get some crumbs. But he didn't. One day, both the men died. And Manish was carried by the angels to Abraham's side, to his bosom. Whoa, look at the angels. They're carrying Manish. Whoa. Right to Abraham's side. Such a glorious day. Thank you so much, everyone. Okay. Can anyone guess which story this is? Lazarus and the rich man. Yes, it's the story of rich man and Lazarus. In the passage, the rich man didn't have an Audi or jacuzzi or swimming pool, But this is just to give you an idea of what the two men's lives looked like. Okay, so now I'm going to read the passage that's from Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 onwards. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked him. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now, both the men have died. Let's see what happens next. Now, Lazarus, this unimpressive man who did nothing in the story, was carried by angels to Abraham's side. But the rich man who knew the scripture and got a proper burial went to hell. You know, the separation of the rich and poor was so much part of their life that it continued in the afterlife. The separation of the rich and poor was so much part of their life continued into the afterlife, but with a great reversal of circumstances. What did Jesus describe hell as? The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 22. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." Can you imagine the intensity and the weight of this verse? So Jesus describes hell as a place of torment, as a place of fire, of flames, as a place of anguish, as a place where there's no water, no mercy. In other scriptures, the Bible tells that hell is a place where there's lake of fire and lake of sulfur, where the worms, they never die. There is weeping and there's gnashing of teeth. You know, now the rich man will spend all his eternity in hell. In hell, the rich man's senses were all active. He could feel, he could see, he could touch, he could feel the pain. He could talk, he could even remember. Verse 26. Abraham says, "And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able to, and none may cross from there to us." Life in heaven and hell begins the instant we die. It does not wait for burial. Lazarus was not buried, nor is there a middle place, as some people believe there is purgatory. From this passage, we see that there are only two places that people go to after they die, and that is heaven or hell. There is a great chasm in between which separates the two, and no good deeds or offering or prayers or proper burial will transfer you from heaven, so from hell to heaven. There is no escape and there's no return. So life in heaven or hell is permanent. It is eternal. So do you think this story teaches that rich people go to hell and poor people go to heaven? Do you think that? There's a reason why Jesus told this story. And the context of this passage is that Jesus was addressing the love of money to the Pharisees. And he was mocked by the Pharisees. Abraham was a rich man. And so this story clearly isn't teaching us that wealth is evil and poverty is good. Who was this rich man? Why did he end up in hell? You know, the fact that the rich man calls him Father Abraham is a sign that this man was a Jew. And so Jesus was likening him to the Pharisees. His parents probably raised him and his brothers up to go to synagogue every week. And they would have heard the laws and the prophets of the laws of Moses and the prophets saying things like, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 to 8. If among you one of your brother should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother. But you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. You know, there is no indication in this passage that the rich man was rude or bad to the poor man. Neither did he mistreat him or abuse him or drive him out of his gate. He just didn't move with compassion when he saw Lazarus at the gate. The rich man simply seemed to have had no regard for the poor man at the gate. Although the rich man knew the scriptures and the prophets, he didn't allow his heart, his life to be transformed by the word of God. We have the gospel. We have the word of God in our hands. And we've got to let it transform our lives. So what is the gospel? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. It's a very rich passage. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, we were all enemies of God, and the wages of our sin was death. But God demonstrates his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. So Jesus lived full of grace and truth, lived a holy and blameless life so that he could pay the price for all our sins, past, present, future, by dying on the cross and accepting the punishment for our sin, which gave us the gift of eternal life. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave, defeated death and sin. To those who believe in the name of Jesus and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they will be saved. The key to heaven is believing in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and Savior. So what does this story mean for us? There are three calls that I would like to highlight today. And that is, number one, the call to respond to the gospel. Number two, the call to preach the gospel. And number three, the call to care for our community. Number one, the call to respond to the gospel. The reason why the rich man was in hell is that he didn't repent. He knew that his family needed repentance, which implies that he didn't do the same. That's why he landed up in hell. What is repentance? Seeking forgiveness for your sins and making conscious decision to do what is right. The invitation to believe in Jesus is open to everyone. If you believe Jesus died for your sin, then accept him into your life and confess with your mouth that he is your Lord and Savior. Receiving Jesus into our lives brings peace, it brings joy, it brings transformation. Do you agree with that? Our lives no longer look the same. We become more Christ-like. We hate what is wrong. We strive for what is right. Our language, the way we serve one another, the way we look at one another, the way we treat and honor and respect one another, it all changes. Our behavior, our attitude changes. You know, this transformation doesn't happen overnight. But for the rest of our lives, as we allow the Word of God to nicely marinate our hearts and our mind, the transformation takes place. This is a process we will go through for the rest of our lives on this earth. So knowledge of the Word alone won't save us. So we have got to respond to the gospel, to the Word of God. Number two, the call to bring the gospel. We saw earlier how hell is eternal and full of agony. You know, there is no escape from hell. Verse 27. The rich man said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "You know, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, no, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." There was a genuine concern from the rich man, from the pit of hell, for his family. Lazarus and the rich man and their family, they're not here. But our friends, our family, the community is here. They're still here. We know the reality of what life after death looks like. And so we got to preach the gospel and tell them the good news. You know, Lazarus desired for crumbs, and the rich man now is desiring for that drop of water which he won't get for all eternity. we have the living water, and that is Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become spring of water welling up to eternal life." Wow. Our responsibility is to only tell the gospel, and it is their responsibility to accept it or reject it. So if you want to know how to preach the gospel, then I encourage you to be part of a gym group. For we are going to be doing a study on how the gospel moves from friend to friend. So I encourage you to be part of that if you're not part of any. So lastly, the third call is to care for our community. The rich man neglected, ignored, and showed no compassion towards Lazarus. He didn't bother to offer him even crumbs. Like Lazarus, there are many people in our lives, and we need to identify who they are. The Lazarus may not be physically sitting at our gate, and caring for our community is not necessary that we should give money to the poor people. It can mean acknowledging and appreciating the security guards or watchmen who open the gate for you to enter your society. No matter the weather conditions, they get up each time and let you in or out. They keep your society safe. The other way we can do is being kind to the person who daily picks up your garbage. Like offering them, being kind to them, offering them a glass of water or a tea or having a quick conversation. Caring for a community can be done in many different ways. We can care for the sick in our church or around us by offering them food when they're sick or calling up after seeing a prayer request on the WhatsApp broadcast and checking in on them. It could also mean serving the poor with things. We as a church, we have been wanting to start a food bank for the poor people in our community. And if you think you would like to run with it, then please come and talk to us. And if you have any ideas of how to reach out to our community, do come and talk to us. We would be happy to talk about it and how we can reach out to our city. You know, if you focus on multitudes, you will keep waiting for big opportunities and you will never reach that one. If you focus on one, you have a chance of reaching the multitudes through that one. Let me say that again. If you focus on multitudes, you will keep waiting for big opportunities and you won't even reach one. So if you focus on one, you have a chance of reaching the multitudes through that one. So if you've got nothing out of the sermon today, today's takeaway is the rich man had all the wealth, scripture, knowledge, and a proper burial. It wasn't enough. We have got to be people who respond to the gospel, preach the gospel, and care for a community. The rich man had all the wealth, scripture, knowledge, and proper burial, but it wasn't enough. We have got to be people who respond to the gospel, preach the gospel, and care for a community. Amen.